We've been in this series on Thrive in 25. We're almost done. I believe after this, I have one more sermon from the book of 1 Peter, and I hope you've learned something, maybe. You know, I hope it's encouraged you in some way, as this letter would have encouraged the early church. And if it hasn't, I apologize, but I hope it has. And today we're in, if you have your Bible, open it up to 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to read from verses 1 to 6, verses 1 to 6. 1 Peter 5, verse 1 to 6. I hear pages turning. I love that sound of pages turning. Did you know, real quick, side note, this is free, that reading from a physical book, you retain knowledge substantially more than in an electronic version? Yes, look it up. Harvard studies. Actually, I don't know if it was Harvard. I made that part up. But studies have been done. But if you throw the name Harvard on or Yale, all of a sudden, oh, that must be true, you know? Anyways, but yes, that is a true statistical stat. All right, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 to 6. I'm going to begin reading. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Now, this is actually significant, because what Peter is doing is he's talking to the under-shepherds, people that are in some way, shape, or form have the responsibility of investing in Christians toward their spiritual growth. Indirectly, we can sum that up from pastors to church leaders, small group leaders, individuals that are devoted to your spiritual growth. And here's what the apostle, the one who was called by Jesus to be one of the 12 disciples, one that wrote letters that is part of the canon of scripture, he's not lowering himself to their level as, well, you're just a measly pastor or something, but I'm an apostle. He's actually elevating them to his level. So for church leaders, for anybody that is devoted towards others' spiritual growth, maybe it's discipleship, maybe you lead a small group, and you are actively caring for other Christians, you are being elevated by Peter to such a high level of importance. So I want you to gain that. Yeah. Well, Josh, I'm only discipling 3 people. That is so important. It is not, God doesn't judge based on the quantity of people. He judges on the quality. He judges on how much you really care. It's not in the number of people, the number of things. It's obedience. It's a heart towards God that doesn't stray from his ways, okay? So he's elevating people. He's elevating people in those positions. He says, to be shepherds of God's flock. Whose flock? God's. Remember, you might be a member of Church of Grace, but you are not a possession of Church of Grace. You belong to God. This is God's pasture. You are God's flock. And I am, as a pastor, anointed and called and placed by the Almighty God to steward this gift that he might bless you, his sheep, in his pasture, his flock. I don't need you, Bing, or whatever you are. You don't belong to any church, any denomination. You are not their possession. You are the possession of God. Some pastors need to remember that. Just saying, I know. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Now, going back here, what is it that Peter is looking forward to? Look at, and a witness of Christ's suffering who will also share in the glory to be revealed. And he tells that the under shepherds, those in church leadership, that you have the same reward, the same glory that I am looking forward to, that my eyes are set on. You can have your eyes set on. You can be motivated and looking forward to that. And of course, we already saw in chapter one that Peter over and over again tells us to set our hope upon the grace of God that is to be brought to you at his appearing. And here he's also sharing now, set your hope on the great reward of the very essence and character and nature and presence of God, that you are a partaker, a sharer of the very glory of God. There's no greater reward or gift in existence. Jesus is the giver of gifts, but do not forget, he is also the gift himself. He is the gift. And then Peter says, and in the same way, you who are younger, yes, he is calling out age groups. You who are younger, submit to your elders. That's a dirty word in our society. I don't want to do what my mom and dad say. I don't want to do what the pastor says. I don't want to do what this leader says, this boss says. People struggle to submit to leadership. The only time they don't have a problem with it is when they don't disagree. But the point here being is you don't just submit when everything's fine and dandy, because if you trust the calling of God, if you trust the individual that you are under, by which that person is devoted to your growth and loves you truly, you can believe that God is speaking to you through that gift. And so therefore, he's saying, submit to your elders. Also, they know a lot more. They've been around a lot longer. They've got a lot more experience. They've seen. I am so thankful to God that he has brought me Pastor Tom. You don't know how important that relationship is for me. Why? Because he has gone through things. He's seen a lot of things. And guess what? The most important thing is he's still faithful. You don't understand, ladies and gentlemen, what I believe. One out of every 10 pastors don't make it. No, I'm sorry. Only one out of 10 pastors make it past 5 years. Pastor Tom's going on almost 50. He's had millions of opportunities to quit. Say, I'm going to go make some money over here and praise the Lord and go be a church attendant. But he kept remaining faithful. Listen, the heroes of the church, and no disrespect to mega church pastors, please don't misunderstand me, but they get a lot of stuff. They got good salaries. They got a lot of things, nice homes, nice cars. The heroes of the Christian faith are the ones that have nothing yet still show up, still pray for their flock. They've got 20 people in their congregation. They don't collect a paycheck. They're out working 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, yet today they still remain faithful. They show up on Sunday and Miss Karen in the back has a problem today, but he keeps preaching and remaining faithful. They are the heroes of the Christian faith. They are the heroes. I'm telling you, they don't get any TV exposure. They don't get all the fame. They're not on YouTube, but my goodness, there's going to be a big reversal in heaven. Oh, you were famous there. You're not as famous here. You were unknown there. Welcome to the glory of the Lord. Your name is very well known among heaven. Why? Because you remained faithful when it was hard. You remained faithful when no one else recognized it. That's what he's after. Will you obey and remain faithful even though you never get recognition? They are the heroes of faith. And so I'm thankful for Pastor Tom because he has an elder, and he's much my elder, just so you know. Much my elder. Much my elder. He was double my age at one point. Don't tell him I said this, but I like to poke fun when I can, you know. He'll get me back, I'm sure. He gets me back on the golf course. He takes my money. So, but anyways. But it's, you have something to learn, young people. And elders, hey, do me a favor. Elders, listen. I'm not going to distinguish who's an elder and who's not. You know if you're an elder. Find someone to mentor. Don't wait for them to come, okay? Go find someone to disciple. I cannot thank God enough that my dad's dad, my granddad, in July 4th, 2005, when I had that encounter with God, and I gave my life to Jesus, and our whole family changed, and my dad took authority in his house and went on a 7-day fast, and it wasn't long after that that I had my encounter with God. And then, thankfully, my granddad had been wrongly terminated, and he was retired now, and guess what? He had loads of time. And he spent so much time discipling me, teaching me foundations, teaching me the fundamentals of Christianity. Thank God he was there. Thank God he made a decision to change the destiny of the Lotzenheiser name by declaring his allegiance to Jesus back in the 70s or 60s or 50s or whatever that was. But elders, listen, listen, listen. Find someone to disciple. Find someone to pour into. We got too many elders dying, going on to heaven without leaving any legacy behind. Who's your knowledge of the goodness of God being passed down to? Who's your knowledge of how to navigate difficulties, trials, and remain faithful to Jesus when marriage is tough, when your kids are tough, when jobs get tough, when you get laid? Who's going to teach the next generation if you remain silent? So I'm asking, I'm pleading, I'm exhorting as pastor with the authority of Jesus. I'm asking elders, find someone to mentor. Find them. Well, Josh, they're lazy. Then change it. Have patience. Imagine I went home, but my little 4-month-old Bodie, man, he's just lazy all the time. All he does is want to sleep, eat, and lay around. No, duh, we're lazy. We're babes. We don't know any better. Teach us. Teach us what it means to respect others. Teach us what it means to be a hard worker. Teach us how to remain strong and faithful to Jesus when everything's against us. Teach us. I'm speaking on behalf. Find someone to mentor. And he said, I don't know where to start. Start by praying. God, I'm ready. Give me someone to bring under my wing that I can pour into, that I can provide for, that I can help with. Elders, I'm telling you to do that. And young people, listen. You don't know it all. You don't. We have much to learn, much to learn. And this is just the way God has designed it. And he says, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with what? Humility. The only way this is all going to work, younger people listening to elders, elders taking the time to invest in themselves, because guess what? That's inconvenient. It's costly. You ain't got time to invest in the next generation. You got a football game to watch. Kidding. But you know what I mean? It's inconvenient to do this stuff. The secular world and culture is not designed for the Christ Christian life to fit well. They are very much at odds. And so it takes work. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Amen. So, what Peter begins here by telling us is about this shepherd situation. He calls church leaders, those in leadership, shepherds. Now, shepherds, of course, we know that term, especially in Israel. They were a shepherding society. It was a big part of their identity. It's what a lot of them did. They were shepherds. And God used the term shepherd as in the Old Testament, as a metaphor for who he was to his people. Of course, you all know the most famous psalm, of course, right? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. That's fruitfulness, food, nourishment. He leads me beside still water. So I'm following here. And if I follow him, these still waters are going to provide refreshing for my soul. He restores my soul. And he, the shepherd, leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yes, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's going to happen. We're going to experience it. But in it, I will fear no evil, no distress, no anxiety, no worry. Why? Because you are with me. And your shepherd's rod and staff comfort me. Oh, and on top of that, you know what my shepherd does for me? He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He doesn't wait for me to have a fulfilled, satisfied life until all my circumstances are okay. No, my enemies are still there. In fact, they are surrounding me on all sides. But don't worry, my shepherd prepares a table. And right in the midst of it, I get to dine with him and eat from him and receive from him and live a fulfilled, satisfied life to where the world looks at me and says, my goodness, you lost your house. My goodness, you've lost everything. My goodness, they fired you from your job. My goodness, everything around you is going wrong. How are you so happy? How are you so satisfied? How are you so fulfilled? You say, because my shepherd prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And he anoints my head with oil. So I don't look down. I don't look depressed and sad. I'm refreshed. Why? Because I have a shepherd and he anoints my head with oil and my cup runs over. In fact, I am so full of everything God is giving, I am overflowing to give to others and provide for others. But Josh, don't you know your life's a mess? Yes, but I got a table, I'm anointed, my cup runs over, and I'm saying, surely goodness and mercy. Surely, not questionably, not maybe, but surely. See, only if you have a shepherd can you say such a thing. Because the responsibility is on the shepherd, not the sheep. But surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And the greatest gift of all, the greatest reward of all, that which we all live for. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Have a shepherd. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Peter is looking forward to the return of Christ and the grace that is brought. Peter is looking forward to the very crown of his glory, the crown of his presence, the crown of his essence, where I am dwelling in the presence of God forever and ever and ever. I'm a partaker of his victory. I'm a partaker of his glory. I'm a partaker of who he is and what he is. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So shepherds. And of course, we see Jesus pick this theme up in the New Testament. Jesus, remember in Mark 6, when he sees all the people that are walking, and he sees them. You know, there's probably a lot of sin in that group. There's probably a lot of people with marital problems in that group. There's probably a lot of people in that group that he sees in Mark 6 that aren't following the law perfectly. But he doesn't point out all their sins, though he's aware. He points out, I see them as sheep without a shepherd. The answer is to have a shepherd, to have someone watching over you. Of course, Peter said this in chapter 2 when he says that you have returned to the shepherd of your souls. Shepherd. Now, what can we learn? What's conveyed by this idea of shepherding? Well, we can look at what shepherds and sheep do and glean a little bit from it. For one, sheep are dumb. For one, we know that every sheep needs a shepherd. A sheep without a shepherd is what we call lion food. Oh, but we're going somewhere, right? Because in the next verse, doesn't Peter say the devil walks around like a roaring lion? Oh, maybe he's building us to something. Maybe shepherds are that important to your safety, to your spiritual thriving. And we're talking about thriving in 25. And it's not about your circumstances. I'm not praying to have the best circumstances in 2025. How boring. How lame. That's what the world wants. I'm praying that I would thrive spiritually, that I would grow, have my relationship with God increase to a level I've never seen before, that I'd be used by God and anointed, that he would increase. Let's up the level of the anointing, God, so that when I speak, my words don't fall lifeless to the ground, that when I speak and pray for, when I see some results, I see some people blessed and taken care of. That's what I'm praying for. So I can come up and help others that are under attack and bear up with them and not be defeated myself. Enemies walking around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and a sheep without a shepherd is his food. We call those dead sheep. I could easily say that a Christian without a pastor is equally as dead, equally as lost. It's not just about picking a church that you like. It's about being in a place that God has picked you, and he may call you to a church you don't necessarily like. And that's where we go back to Peter, where he says, submit. You will not find a place where you agree with everything. And I think that that's one of the most harmful things for the Christian church in America, because we have so many options. We're just going to pick and choose which one's closest to my ideology, which one's closest to my interpretation, rather than asking the Lord, where do you place me? Where do you want me to submit? Let my roots grow down, be pastored and shepherded by the gifts and callings there. I'm preaching pretty good right now. I mean, I'm saying, no. That's like buying applause, you know. Please don't, you know. But that is some truth, okay? And it's a thing. And I've told people, because we're talking about shepherding, I've told people, they have left the church because they got offended. Listen, you don't belong to Church of Grace, you belong to Jesus. You are more than welcome to leave whenever the Lord tells you to. And if you say so, we're cool with that. That's wonderful. We will help you find your next place. But do not leave a place because you got offended. That's not a reason allowed in Scripture to leave. Don't leave a place because you feel... No, submission means that I don't necessarily like this, but I'm going to keep serving. I'm going to remain faithful, and I'm going to continue to give. Oh, thank you, Angelovia. My wife, my biggest cheerleader. Anyways, where does God place you? And listen, I feel like Elijah. Elijah with the prophets of Baal on this side and him on this side. Listen, guys, how long are you going to have one foot with Baal and the other with Yahweh? Are you waiting for something? Well, here you go. If Baal is God, serve him. If Yahweh is God, hey, serve him. Stop, like, well, I'm kind of, but kind of not. I'm kind of like, you know, if God has placed you here at Church of Grace, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for to get connected, to serve, to let God use you in marvelous ways and see how fulfilling a life you can have? But if he hasn't called you here, let us know. I will help you. I will give you names of wonderful pastors and churches that are doing marvelous things. I just want you placed where the shepherd is placing you, in the right flock, in the right pasture, so that your roots can grow deep and you will thrive. But if it's here, let's go. I mean, it's a solid argument, right? I think sometimes we're just, I don't know, waiting for something. What are we waiting for? Your year is going to come and go. 2025, you're going to be at 2026. Man, they were talking about thrive. I didn't thrive, I dived. You know, I did the opposite. You know, what was going on? That was your choice. The table is spread before you. You have a shepherd. Jesus has prepared it. Dine, eat. Go for it. Anyways, I hope I'm making sense. And if you're feeling condemned, like, I'm kind of sorry about that. But not entirely. But you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So I will remember, or I will remind you of that. But shepherds, Jesus is our shepherd. Sheep need a shepherd to keep them from wandering away in their stupidity. They just follow a fly. And next thing you know, they're in the lion's jaws. Sheep need shepherds to protect them from dangers and thieves. Sheep need shepherds to feed them. You know why? Sheep cannot feed themselves. Sheep need shepherds to to go find them and catch them, even at the shepherd's own personal risk of life. So we see Jesus talking about leaving the 99 to go find the one. We see God called David, who was a shepherd, who went to rescue sheep that were in the mouths of bears and lions. That's a shepherd of Scripture, someone who lives a life of self-sacrificing that you matter more than my life. That's Christianity. Shepherds, sheep need shepherds to prevent other sheep from taking advantage of others. Sheep need shepherds to maintain the unity of the flock, and sheep need shepherds for the individual care that that shepherd provides. Now, all of these, of course, are exclusive to Jesus Christ, who is the chief shepherd, but indirectly, it is applicable to anyone and everyone who is involved with people's care and spiritual growth. From the lead pastor on down, our church leaders, people who are in positions of authority that God has placed, that is the responsibility of our church leaders. Of course, we see this played out, if you can, Jeremiah 23 real quick. I have it up here so you don't have to turn there. But this is important to God. It's very important. It says, "Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend to my people. He says, because you have scattered my flock and driven them away, and you have not bestowed care on them." So what does God expect from shepherds? To truly care for the sheep and all that that implies and involves. That's a tough job. He says, because you didn't bestow care, I'm going to bestow punishment on you. It's a big responsibility for the evil that you've done. And he says, I myself, Jesus fulfilled this prophetic word, I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I've driven them and will bring them back to their pasture where, look at the result of this, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. Next, he says, I will place shepherds over them. So I'm going to bring them back. I am going to bring salvation. And then I'm going to place individuals, shepherds over them who will do what? Feed them, tend them, care for them. And what is the result of being under the care of a true shepherd, a true pastor or bishop? They will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. Now, we all know the importance of having a job to provide for our families. We all know the importance of having strong friendships and relationships with others. We all know the importance, as I've already expressed, the importance of having a mentor or someone who's passing on knowledge and information to you. Every successful person, anyone who's ever done anything great, guess what they've had? They've had mentors. They've had people that have passed on information. So we know the importance of that. But many do not know the very importance of having a pastor. In fact, in the first few centuries of the early church, the most important people on the earth were the bishops. Because in that time of heresies that were going around and rampant, it was the bishops that maintained order and doctrine and integrity. It was the bishops that stepped in front of the persecution that came. It was the bishop that when there was attack on the church, the bishop laid his life down. The bishops are the ones that maintained unity, is the one that encouraged the people in his church that were suffering tremendously. It was the bishops, and the people of the congregations looked to their bishops for spiritual health and direction. Why? Because they understood God's design and God's order. A shepherd is not someone who controls and lords it over the people, but someone whom God has equipped and anointed where you will receive answers, direction, wisdom, encouragement, life from the very gift that God has placed in the pastor of a church. But this is important for you, just as this is important, say, for me and for a pastor of a church to recognize and understand the people of his flock in order to effectively minister to them. It is just as important for the flock to understand the gifts and the callings of a pastor. Why? So that you can correctly receive from them. so that you can receive not from the man, but the gift of God inside the man. That you can support that ministry, that you can pray and understand through humility together, we can actually be the church of Jesus Christ. We don't come in here on Sundays just to receive some kind of information. We could watch a YouTube video for that. No. But I know when I come here and Pastor Tom's preaching, or even I'm speaking like today, I know I am not limited to my mere knowledge and understanding. When I step into this pulpit as a person that's called by God, who's been called by God to be a pastor, I know I'm stepping into an anointing that's bigger than me. And I am fearful of it. I understand the gravity of the situation. I understand the gravity that I could potentially say something that is not accurate and lead a sheep astray. I am very aware, which is why I have an obsessive compulsive disorder in a good way that I study. And I am careful and I make sure and I do my best. I'm far from perfect, but I do my very best that I will not ever say something unless I have a strong personal argument and good empirical evidence to back it up. I care. Why? Because I don't want to be struck down dead. Well, that won't happen. We're in the New Testament, Acts chapter 5. A simple lie to the Holy Spirit. It is a serious matter. And we cannot forget what Peter had just said before he talks to shepherds. Judgment begins in where? The house of God. Some of us in the flock take your position too lightly. Some pastors take their position too lightly. We cannot forget that we are part of God's kingdom. This is his flock, his pasture. We are stewards of it. If I have a plot of grass, I don't own it. I'm to steward it. If you have a gift, you are fully responsible and give full account to Jesus Christ in the last day of what you accomplished with it. What did God do with it? And you will not be able to have some kind of excuse. Well, things didn't line up for me. Jesus will say, did things line up for me? The very symbol of your faith, a cross, does that look like health and prosperity? I called you to carry a cross. I didn't call you to be the richest man on the earth. I called you to carry a cross. I called you to live for the glory of God, not the glory of man. How can you believe, Jesus said, when you are still seeking to receive praise and glory from man and not receive the praise and glory that comes from God alone? You will fail. You will fall. You will live a life that is forgotten when you live for yourself. But when you live a life for Jesus, when you live a life for others, guess who we're talking about still today? All the great martyrs. Those that gave their lives for others, the bishops, Irenaeus, how he gave his life. Think about these men. They truly lived the gospel. They lived it. Man, I didn't even make it 20% of my message. Not even, and it was really good. You didn't even know where I was going. I did, and that's probably why, you know, when you want to savor something, and you eat it real slow, like a good steak. Like, I'm gonna do small bites. So I kind of did that and I got stuck, so. But when we gather, listen, when we gather together on a Sunday morning, how you come in matters. How you come really matters. This is God's time. We are limited to the resources of heaven. What can be accomplished? And maybe I'm parking here because it's God telling you, I want to do some good things. I want and desire to do some big things, but you are not prepared. You are not entering ready with anticipation and expectation. You might show up late because it's not important. You're not here for the very first notes on the very first song. Why? Because other things are happening. Then wake up another hour early. Why? Because you're in anticipation and expectation of what God is going to do in the service today. Perhaps we should believe stronger in the very presence of Jesus Christ himself and the gifts that he has played within this church and understand that when I walk through these doors and we do church together, which is sing songs, honor him with his word, miracles actually happen. Things actually break out. And I'm showing up here today because I need a word from God for my life. I need a word from God for my children. I need a word from God for this and that. And I believe God will speak to me through the anointing and gifting of my pastor, who he has placed for my good. But if the pastor of your church is no good, go find another church. There are wolves in sheep's clothing. And there are shepherds that are greedy. There are shepherds that are in it for themselves. There are shepherds who are in it for fame, money, control, and power. They are. But may the Lord remove me. May the Lord remove anyone from his holy, precious church that aren't in it for the right reasons. It's a serious matter to Jesus. I hope I conveyed that to you. And we'll finish where I was going another day. If I could have every head bowed and eyes closed. Lord, I repent for failing again to get through my sermon. But I pray, Jesus, that I said things that you spoke through me to say some things to us from 1 Peter about the importance of shepherds, the importance of our place of receiving from shepherds, that we would have the right motivations in all church leadership, anyone that's in any position of authority, that we would exercise such authority, God, in this place to build up and not tear down, that any authority, any power, any anointing and grace on our leadership would be used to truly build people, to bring a greater unity in this house, to bring greater growth in the people. Lord, you did not call us to do the possible. You called us to do the impossible. And we pray, we beseech you that your grace would make the impossible possible. We beseech you that you would do a mighty work in every one of us individually, in every one of us in our families, that this whole church would continue to thrive and grow, that we would mature in the things of God, that we would wholly depend on you, that there would not be a prideful bone in us, but that we truly would clothe ourselves with humility, submitting ourselves to one another, serving one another in love, caring for one another, being there to carry one another's burdens, that the love that is present in this place would be the agape love that you desire, would be the self-sacrificial love and honor and respect for our brothers and sisters, where we honor them greater than we honor ourselves. May it be the real deal here, Lord. May it be genuine. May there be a purifying in our lives. May there be a purifying. And we look forward to the great day you return. We look forward to the grace that you're bringing, the glory that you crown us with. And in the meantime, we will be obedient and we will follow you, our chief shepherd. We thank you. Amen.